I'm going to do a scream really fast because my waveforms look kind of big. Ah! Okay. As long as I don't do that, it should be okay.
Well, you shouldn't have any reason to do that. We do.
Yes.
Previously on Bad Heroes.
Everyone except Gideon, you hear a voice.
How is it to come face to face with your true nature, Guardians?
Who the fuck? Show yourself!
Go ahead. Take Iris down in blood and glory. Prove me right.
I don't know who the hell that is, but we need to ignore them. We're here for Iris and nothing else matters right now.
Gideon downs the potion, becomes invisible, and then attacks Iris with claws.
Woo!
Tonrir looks toward the wood line and he goes, Toloth Telk Uin Taur. And he summons three spiders that are human-sized.
Tonrir!
Iris, outmatched, attempts to run.
With Gideon on her still.
Goodbye, Gideon.
Look after my book.
Iris veers a sharp left and leaps into a wide, strong river and begins swimming with the current. The river twists and turns, churning over boulders, and you can see Iris paddling hard to keep her head above water. Gideon, you are still on Iris's back, and you are now in this river too. So the guardians you are riding leap into this river after Iris, and you are all very suddenly drenched as the river splashes up around you.
Reva shouts, no, 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 no.
And Pax says, yes, 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 yes. What's on your mind, Reva?
So Reva does not like fast flowing water. She's had a disagreement with the water in her past.
The water is cold and it is moving fast, and you are all in up to your waist. Reva, give me a will saving throw.
Fucking Christ.
Because you're very afraid of water.
11.
Oh, no.
Freeze the water around her.
Take a -2 penalty on the next thing that you do.
Okay.
As long as you're in this water. Okay, now we're going to switch back to Gideon's turn. And the last thing we said is, like, people were joking about Gideon flipping through the book rapidly. And you said, like, I'm looking at my spells.
Okay.
If you need a minute to plan your shit, that's totally okay.
In all this time that I said, okay, so I have time to plan, I
wasn't planning. Yeah. I
was thinking about birds. There's a raven, like the super smart ravens.
Uh-huh.
And its name is Fable, and it has a YouTube channel, and apparently there was a YouTube video of it. They just stuck like a hidden camera in her enclosure area, and she just sings to herself.
Aww.
Like, she'll talk to herself and practice her sounds, which sound like words, and she likes to go boop boop. But yeah, that's been on my mind a lot. Okay. Is just this raven walking around her house singing to herself.
When Gideon gets familiar, it's going to be a raven who will be
boop boop. Boop, boop.
Okay, focus up.
Boop, boop.
Looking through your spell books, you are in this river like waist deep. It is super cold.
Like, I'm not actually looking through my spell books. You know that, right?
No, I know. Looking through your spiritual...
mental spell book.
You know, sort of metaphysical,
yes,
spell book.
And she has limited options.
Your claws are still sunk into Iris's neck. She's not loving that, but she hasn't figured out a way to sort of shake you off yet.
Yeah, I'm a stage 5 clinger, baby. I will do the same thing that I've done every time.
Okay.
Just cast another chill touch.
All right.
I roll a d6. You have to roll a fortitude save throw to see if you take 1 point of strength damage.
Okay. Okay, that's going to be a 21.
I mean, yeah, that does it.
Okay. So how much damage does she take?
4. And did Iris switch back to the bonus song?
Yep.
Yes, Inspire Courage. So you get a +2.
Okay, so it's 4 + 2, 6.
Okay. Iris looks like she's starting to hurt. Iris looks like she's starting to struggle. She's stumbling a little bit as she's swimming through this river. She is looking not good. She is starting to look bad. But she is, of course, still furious. Tonrir, It is you.
How close to the other side of the river has she made it so far?
So she's not crossing. She's swimming with the river, like down the river.
Oh, down the river.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. I was going to see about charm aminal. Animal.
Charm that aminal.
Charm that aminal. But I realized that doing that whilst she's swimming is probably not the best idea. So I'm worried about tranquilizing further and causing her to go under the water. That's what I'm worried about right now. She's swimming down the river.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, none of us brought a floaty.
Strap your safety floaty vest onto Iris. You always need one when you go out on the water, just in case.
Here's what I'll do. I've got two rounds left with the spiders. Yeah, Tonrir is really hesitant about that. So what he's going to have the spiders do is Tonrir is going to have the spiders shoot webbing further down the river wherever they can.
Yes.
Now, would that work if a web was shot into the river, like to try to tangle her up as she swims?
I thought it was like to catch her.
Yeah, and it's going to be, it's either A, to deter her and get her back onto land, or B, to capture her. And it's going to be for a spot that has stuff above the water, like trees, logs, rocks, etc. Because obviously you can't cast web into the water itself.
Sure, there's boulders and stuff. Okay, so I get to make a saving throw to see if she can just like press through it.
Like if she becomes entangled, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it becomes a problem.
Entangled, push through, or if she wants to evade that by getting back on land.
Yeah, I don't know what the official rules are on this, but for this scenario, I would say that if she succeeds in the saving throw, then she can press through and it's no obstacle. If she fails the saving throw, then she must choose between becoming entangled or going around.
Cool.
Okay.
So that'll be cast 15 feet ahead of her.
Okay. And then what kind of save is this?
It's a DC 12 for when it's spun on the person. So I guess we could just use that same DC for when they're tangled in.
Reflex?
Probably.
Reflex.
It doesn't list it specifically here.
And then, Kaz, you sent me something last time that maybe we were shortchanging you all on your spellcasting DCs.
I don't know exactly where I found it. I'll try and find it again. But basically, it said for sorcerers.
Oh, I see.
The difficulty class for a saving throw against a sorcerer spell is 14 plus the spell level. And I think previously we were operating on 10 plus
10.
So it might be.
Might be worth a check, because otherwise I'm going to kick your whole ass.
Yeah, so that's actually a good call.
Difficulty class for a saving throw against a druid spell is 10 plus the spell level plus the druid's wisdom modifier.
There you go.
10 plus spell levels plus, okay.
Should be quite a bit higher than we've been operating on.
So that's going to be 15 plus 4 for the wisdom. So the DC is 19 on that then, if that's what we're going with.
That sounds a lot more correct. All right.
Yes.
Wait, okay. You have a level 5 spell?
So the special attack of web, as listed in the reference document for spiders, the starting DC for that is 12.
Oh, okay, yes. Gotcha. I was like, so that brings I was like 10 plus the 5. Okay. Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I got a 23.
Oh, God damn it.
So Iris just presses on through.
Yeah. Do you want to, since it's three spiders casting it, do you want to do three separate rolls?
Yeah, sure. Let's see.
Okay.
26.
Fuck off.
And 20. So your three spiders shoot this web in her way, trying to stop her from using this river as her getaway vehicle. And they are not strong enough to contain her. She presses through. Although, Gideon, I think you get a bunch of spider web on you. I think you and Iris are just kind of like a little coated in spider web now. And it's not the best.
She's still just like cruising along, riding on Iris's back. And she goes, Tonrir, gross.
Well, in that case, he's going to have no option but to try and slow her down further. So he's going to knock another arrow and fire.
Okay, so you knock that arrow and you hear that voice again. You hear that voice in your head that doesn't seem to come from anywhere. And it seems like this time you are the only one to hear it. And the voice says,
Tonrir, some druid you are, disrupting the natural order like this. You should be ashamed.
And I need you to take a -2 on whatever you roll.
Okay. I'll take that -2, but in his mind, he's going to think, I'm on a hunt to see if I am the better predator, Lena.
Bitch!
It's just going to be knocking the arrow.
Okay. As you knock the arrow and as you prepare to fire, go ahead and roll the fire.
Sure. So it's 19 to hit.
Okay. Your arrow shoots to the right of Iris and into the distance. And that voice says,
Do you envision yourself at the top of the food chain? Do you imagine yourself to be greater than? Look into the eyes of your betters and think again.
And now it is Reva's turn.
Reva's struggling. She's struggling in this river. She's trying to not fall off of Pax. She's just hating this, and she's clinging on and, like, getting splashed. She's struggling to, like, straighten up in the saddle.
Uh-huh.
Oh, kind of like posting?
Yeah. She's fumbling for another dagger at her waist.
Mm-hmm.
How far away?
Like 15 feet. Iris is about 15 feet away from you.
Yeah, so she's going to try to throw another dagger downstream towards Iris.
Okay, as you lift that dagger in your hand, the voice comes for you. And you hear,
You're from the Shadow Plane, aren't you, Fetchling? I bet you have incredible nightmares. I bet the things you've seen would shock even me. Reva, who is Blink?
Can I change what I was about to do?
Yeah.
Okay. Reva had, like, pulled her arm back in preparation to throw when she heard that voice in her head. And it kind of takes her out of the moment, and she narrows her eyes and looks around, trying to find the source of the voice, but obviously nobody's there. So she just shouts at no one in particular, You think I'm scared of you? You think I'm scared of this? Fuck this! And she's...
It's fucking great.
She's going to rage.
Hell yes.
Fuck yeah.
She's going to enter a controlled rage, which gives her a +4 bonus to her dexterity.
That will successfully negate the -2 that you have from a fear effect and the -2 from the voice.
Mm. I'm also going to use a feat called Surprise Accuracy, which gives me an additional +2 bonus for one attack roll per rage.
Okay.
Hey, how much room is there on Iris?
Yeah.
Like to stab past Gideon?
Like.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
like,
uh-oh.
Is there room for another person?
Oh, God. Yes, I mean, she's huge. Go off, I guess. Yes, you can fit on Iris. Hey, buddy.
Is this, just for my mental image, like, would this be something that Gideon would notice that Reva was shouting and maybe she looked back and saw that she was jumping towards her?
Oh, yeah.
Could Gideon let loose one claw to make more room for Reva?
Yeah.
Okay, because Gideon was holding onto both of Iris's shoulders. I guess it depends on how big Iris is.
I was going to, like, land somewhere behind you.
Big spoon it.
Uh-huh. Backpack okay. it. All right.
Because I feel like I'm already in backpack position, so if you backpack on top
Double
of the
backpack.
I'm going to fanny pack it.
All right. Fucking God damn it. All right, do it.
All right. So she's going to draw a second dagger from her belt, leap off of Pax's saddle, and she's gonna open up that crack between the planes again and fucking dimensional yeet herself and blink out of existence mid-jump and appear
in fanny pack position
sort of like flying midair, ready to just like double stab Iris.
Is that like into her sides?
Yeah, like into her sides.
Okay, I'm gonna need you to give me an acrobatics check. But you can roll twice and take the better number because that was very cool.
Okay. The higher roll is 26.
The best thing about Reva is that she is simultaneously so fucking ridiculous and so fucking scary.
Badass.
Right.
And like both at the exact same time. Like she is sort of classic barbarian in that she is like fucking conventionally terrifying, but also
in like a very hilarious tiny package.
Yes, I love it. She's a bantam barbarian. Okay, so you make that jump. Roll to hit.
And is this going to be a combat maneuver or just a attack?
Do an attack.
Okay.
It will be better for you.
All right.
Is Pax just like...
Yeah. Pax is just like, what did I fucking... That was...
God. What is it about the people that ride Pax that just feel the need to jump onto a different werewolf?
It's rubbing off, I'm telling you.
Do I give that bad of a wolfie back?
It's not you, Pax.
It's not you. It's not you. It's me.
It's me.
12 plus 9 plus 2.
Jesus.
Plus 2 is 25.
Okay, yeah, you fucking hit.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
Damage, please.
Christ. So I rolled a 2 and then a 3, so 5.
Plus 2 is 7.
7.
Okay. Well, fuck yeah. So you sink both of your daggers into Iris's sides. And I guess that's how you're hanging on? I guess. God.
Were these also daggers that were coated with Quycine?
Yep.
Okay.
2 Quycine hits.
So we are now sitting at 5 Quycine hits. She is beginning to, like, visibly slow. Let's see. Let me roll really quick. No way. Okay. Orland and Rora are finding themselves to be not equal to this river. They are struggling to maneuver in it, and they're trying to attack Iris, but there's too many people on Iris now that can no longer attack her. So They're just like, I don't know what you fucking want me to do, man. So Rora and Orland are just swimming to her left and her right, just trying to encircle her and failing. Now, it's Iris's turn.
Does Pax do anything since nobody's on him?
On them?
Oh, yeah, on them.
I don't think Pax can. I think the other werewolves look at this situation and they're like, no, I'm not going to risk rending this fanny pack in two, in twain, trying to, you know, slap Iris.
This very angry fanny pack.
Okay, so Riva Gideon, we're going to do a strength contest.
Oh, no, that's the bad one.
Yeah. So Iris, like, leaps up onto a boulder. And there's water flowing on each side. There's still enough water that it's like splashing up into you. And she has her claws in this boulder. And she goes to shake her body hard.
Oh, boy.
To shake you off of her. To bring you directly in front of her. So, we're going to do a strength contest.
So, we're just trying to hold on.
Oh, shit.
You're just trying to hold on. Oh, my God. Angry fanny. Coolness Googled angry fanny pack and got a fanny pack that says definitely not drugs on it.
It's definitely not what Reva's.
Definitely.
It's just pure rage.
Definitely not. It should say definitely not angry, but it means very angry. We're going to do a strength contest.
Okay.
Iris is at a -3 for strength because of Gideon's spell.
And I think one of them was from Tonrir?
No, I'm just Quizine, dude.
She's at -3 strength, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to roll mine first, and then I'm going to sort of make a sound to illustrate how concerned you should be.
It's the best. I'm going to make a sound.
We still get +2 on our checks with the bard song, right?
With the bard song, yeah. Okay. The sound I will make is...
Okay. For me, I got a 15 plus 1, 16.
Okay, you managed to hold on.
Waha!
Mm-hmm.
I got a 10. No modifier.
Oh, Riva.
Not even with the song?
Oh, +2 for the song, so 12. But then -2 for the water.
Oh, no.
Okay, Riva, Iris manages to shake you off. Both your daggers.
She's multiplying.
And these are the blink back daggers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think you fall off of Iris. You lose grip of those daggers. And of course, then they disappear from their place in her back and back onto your belt. But you fall into the water, which is the last place you want to be.
Fuck.
And in addition to falling into the water, you suddenly see jaws snapping down in your direction, trying to bite you.
Hey, I hate that.
And it's, and you know, it's not just the damage that you need to worry about from this. It's a lot more than that. So I'm gonna roll.
Oh, that doesn't sound good. I know that hesitation, that hesitation.
So the strike against your AC is 15.
Okay.
What's your AC?
It's 19.
Okay. All right. So you manage to swim out of the way as Iris's massive jaws snap down next to you. And I think her jaws snap right next to your head. And then her face pulls out of the water. And with Gideon still on her back by one arm, Iris leaps back into the river. And very, very quickly, you all realize that the river is narrowing. The water is moving fast, and there is a period of time in which you really can't do anything except be part of this river. Reva, do you... Reva, I think you're in this water. How is this treating you?
Bad. Real bad.
You're living your worst life right now.
It's bad. So Reva can't swim.
Mm.
I don't know how deep this river is, but she is sinking like a rock.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
What are you thinking about?
Floaties.
So one time, years ago, Reva was doing a job in the Shadow Plane that went wrong and fell into a river.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about rivers in the Shadow Plane is that a lot of things live in them. And so when Reva fell in, something with way too many eyes and teeth grabbed her and started dragging her down into the depths. And it was cold and murky, and she managed to break free, but she couldn't tell which way was up or down. So she didn't know like what direction to go, and it was only by pure luck that she managed to like find her way back to shore.
So she's remembering this now. She's remembering this thing that happened.
Yeah. She is reliving that moment, and she's getting flashes of being trapped, of being surrounded, of the cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad down there.
Give me a quick swim check.
What did I just say?
Oh, right.
Can Ira help?
Yeah. Let's see how well or terribly Reva is faring.
Because after Iris's turn, it's Ira, right?
Yeah.
I rolled a 12, but I do have a -1 on all swim checks.
You're not swimming as much as you're just trying not to drown. You're not doing good. Like, the current is way too strong. You are getting pulled under. And then Ira, on the back of Solas, shows up. And Ira, what do you do?
Ira will cast Gallant Inspiration. And that adds a 2d4 bonus onto failed attack or skill checks.
So, is this your turn? This is Ira's turn?
Yes. I mean, I honestly thought you were just going to, like, pull Reva out of the drink as sort of like a free action.
That's what I was imagining, is like, don't worry, Reva, I'll come to save you. And then Ira rides up next to Reva and just goes, I got this cool song I wrote for you.
You can do it. You can do it.
I'm not going to save you. Save yourself.
Oh my God. It's like that Xena episode with the tree. It was like, have faith.
This kid was like, Xena, why, when we were little kids, did you never help me climb the tree? And you'd be like, let me help you. And then be like, ha ha, loser. And then leave. And later at the end of the episode, Xena was like, it was because I wanted you to have faith in yourself. And I'm like, it was not. It was because you were being an asshole.
Ira rides up on Solas and puts his hand out and says, Reva, you got to have faith. And then rides off.
Hey, this is Dre Silvertooth, and thank you for listening to episode 38 of Bad Heroes, part 13 of the Wild Hunt arc. Just a reminder, for this episode and every episode, we have content warnings at badheroescast.com/content warnings. Okay, this is my absolute favorite kind of announcement. We have a new patron. Thank you so much, Sarah. Your support means the world to us. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/badheroes. And if you want to support us too, we have tiers that start at just $2 a month. You get access to our patrons-only Discord, which has become a really supportive and fun community, and a bunch of other extras that we put on Patreon, like bloopers.
If you like our shenanigans, our Patreon will be the right place for you. Patreon.com/badheroes. Alternatively, if you want to support us with a one-time donation, you can find us at ko-fi.com/badheroes. That's ko-fi.com/badheroes. Hey, do you like coffee? Most of us do. I am excited to announce that we've got a new partner who can provide you with coffee. Grinding Coffee is a Black and LGBTQ-owned coffee company that donates a portion of all their sales to charity. They deliver to your door a variety of delicious blends that are freshly roasted. So, if you want to try it, find them at grindingcoffee.co and use the code BADHEROES for 10% off. That's grindingcoffee.co. This next announcement is very exciting. Are you ready? I'm going to do a drum roll. We have launched the Bad Heroes merch shop. Woo! And the crowd goes wild. You can find it at shop.badheroescast.com. We've got shirts. We've got stickers. We've even got a blanket. We've got our cool little logo snake on a hat, which I think looks amazing. We have the House of Fane logo on a badass metal pin. Also, we've designed the cover of the Undead Adventures in Romance novel that Gideon carries around through the Forgotten Court. There is so much stuff there that I am excited for you to check out. So scoot on over to shop.badheroescast.com and take a look. If you do social media, you can find us at Bad Heroes Cast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And you should come say hi. Music in this episode is Plague and Run by Kai Engel, and Now You Are Here by Sergei Chermisinov. Our theme is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane. We also used sound effects by Color Crimson Tears, Yosarian, John Conn Library, and SRJA Gaming on freesound.org. Lastly, we want to thank Roll20 for sponsoring our show. You can jump onto roll20.net and get your digital tabletop going today. I think that is all. The next episode will be out just as soon as we can get it to you. See you then.
Oh my god.
Fuck me. Okay, Coolness just sent a meme and we're definitely going to put it everywhere we can. Okay, so so you, Ira, from a distance, you see Reva starting to struggle and you play your instrument to help her and she does manage to get a breath. And that breath allows her enough time, like you catch a breath and then you fall back under the water and then you feel a big hand pull you out. And then you are no longer in the water. You have been swung onto Pax's back. And Pax says, "You all right?"
Reva coughs up a bunch of water.
Yeah, I'm good.
Good, because we've got bigger problems. And you see that this river that is suddenly moving so quickly, it is moving quickly because it is racing towards a destination. It is racing towards a waterfall.
I knew it! Fuck, I knew it!
And without looking back, Iris reaches the edge of this watery cliff, and she jumps.
Mm. And Gideon goes, "No!"
Oh my god, Gideon's still
alive. With Gideon on her back. Fuck me. All right, so...
Is this going how you thought it would be going?
Not even remotely. I didn't expect there to be a river. Yeah, Gideon is just shrieking, by the way. Because when Iris leaps over the waterfall, Gideon is just like, "Well, that's it for the kids.
That's it for me." So you have some options. You can not jump off this waterfall. Everyone except Gideon that has no option. You cannot jump off this waterfall, but you will lose her. Or you can follow her off the waterfall. Take your pick.
Just for flavor, Gideon is kind of looking back at everyone else as she sails through the air.
You just see Gideon's little face turn and she mouths, goodbye.
I imagine this is like a cartoon and like Iris falls first and Gideon stays up with her eyes like wide and then she falls.
It's a very majestic look of panic. Like Gideon is clinging to Iris's back and looking back dramatically at the group and just being like, this is the end.
All right. So you see Gideon vanish off the edge of that waterfall. Quick. No time. You got no time to figure this out. What do you do?
Tanru's putting his bow on around his shoulder. He's double grabbing the horns as he's saying go.
All right. You are riding Harlow and Harlow shows no fear. They just leap off the side of that waterfall. Ira, what are you and Solas doing?
Oh, God, I'm torn.
Because you want to live?
No. I'm confident that we would be fine if we jumped off. But Ira is thinking about using his Seeker's Pendant to see if he can figure out the direction of the voice that we're hearing.
Mm, okay.
Like, I know the voice itself isn't coming from a certain direction, but the source of it. Because I think Ira has an idea of who it is. So if Ira thinks of that person and the Seeker's Pendant takes him there, but I don't know if he wants to do that just yet.
Yeah, it's up to you. If you want to peel off, we can sort of lead you out quickly and then address what you do next time. Hmm. But yeah, it's up to you.
I don't think it's a good time to split the party. So I think Ira is going to follow.
Okay. So Solas gives you a quick look and just says, we going? Yeah?
We're going.
Cowabunga, baby. And just like jumps off the edge of the waterfall. Just as a fucking cannonball off the edge. And you hear, woo! And Pax and Reva, you jumping?
Reva is just clinging to Pax's back like a very soggy barnacle. Oh, no. So she's just going to do whatever Pax is doing.
Okay, Pax says, do you trust me?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't sound sincere, but I'll take it. And Pax reaches around and like knowing that you're very frightened of water, Pax reaches around and pulls you to their chest and wraps their arms around you and jumps.
Aw.
So you all jump off this waterfall. I'm gonna give you some damage. Give you a time. I would like you all to take 15 damage.
Oof. Maybe I should have broken off.
What did we, like, hit every rock on the way down?
Yeah, I mean, you land and you land hard and it hurts. And it is not a soft, like, watery landing. I think some of that damage is that, like, you collide with rocks on your way down.
And I can only imagine I just flap against Iris's body really hard.
And some of it is that you fall deep under that water and it takes a while before the guardians pull back up and get air. Reva, I think Pax, because Pax is paying special attention to you, limits your damage. So yours will be 12 because Pax kind of like chucks your cannonball back to the surface and like shields you with their body on the way down.
As they surface, Reva looks at Pax and says, it's almost like you like me or something.
Something like that.
So you guys all come out at the bottom of this waterfall. Pax is kind of cradling Reva and flips her back onto their back. And Gideon, you are along for this super, super fun ride. Everyone is spluttering. Everybody has just drank way more water than they wanted to. Everybody is absolutely drenched and everyone is cold. And you all see Iris leap out of the river in a burst of water droplets. And they seem to hang in the air for one frozen second, framing her massive form. And then she's off again. And you all follow, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a choice.
I didn't lose 15 points or over half of my hit points for nothing.
We're in it now.
Was it over half your hit points?
Yeah.
Oh,
Ira is squishy. I should have stayed up there.
That might be a problem.
Yeah. Maybe Ira will be like, I can't keep going.
Hold on.
Should have had you crawl down with the spiders, but the spiders pretty much noped out of there now because they're gone. They're like, you know what? That was fun. We're going to go home now.
The spiders are just chilling at the top of the waterfall like, yo.
I chose the wrong choose your own adventure.
Did anyone else lose half or more than half of their hit points?
Almost.
Okay. Ira, make a fortitude save.
No.
This is bad. This is very bad.
Can I go back? I know I can't, but.
Do it. You got this.
Oh my god, I got a 13.
Okay, so I think part of it is that Solas helps protect you from damage, and that enables you to pass your fortitude save. And you know why? Because if you failed, you'll die.
What?
God damn it.
Yeah. If you lose more than half of your hit points in a single blow and you flunk your fortitude save, you die. So.
Damn.
You don't die, but only barely.
Woof.
Ira may not go on.
Okay.
He may stay back with this damage.
Look, y'all, it was great. I had fun. The jump was great. I'm gonna walk.
I'm gonna catch up with y'all.
Meanwhile, Gideon is on Iris's back in the middle of the air because she is somehow jumping and going into slow-mo. And Gideon just going, oh, God.
Okay, so all the guardians check in with the people they're carrying. And Ira, seeing how terrible you are doing, Solas swims over to the edge of the river beneath this waterfall, and he lays you out gently on the ground. He shifts back before you, becoming his half-human, half-elven self, and he starts rooting around in his bandolier until he finds a potion. It's a small blue vial, and he tips it between your lips as you breathe raggedly, and you are healed for 6 points of damage.
Oh, okay. That helps.
You still feel terrible.
Right.
And if you want to lay there for a minute, I respect that.
Okay.
Because that was almost the end of you. Okay, so Iris leaps out of the river in that burst of water, and she starts taking off again through the trees. And quick check on like who is in pursuit. Ira, you and Solas are staying behind.
Just focusing on healing.
Gideon is on Iris. Tonrir, you are on Harlow. Do you continue?
Yes.
Okay. Harlow looks battered and bruised, but they are going. Reva, you are on Pax. Do you continue?
Yeah, and Reva looks considerably better now that they're back on land.
Okay.
Like, she's kind of bruised and battered from the fall, but she looks better.
Okay, cool. All right, so Solas stays behind, stabilizing Ira. And Gideon, it is your turn. Iris, like, blasts off through these trees, and you realize quickly that the forest is ending. Suddenly, and without warning, the forest is ending, and you can see in the distance three small buildings nestled together between a corral and a vast wheat field.
Okay, so, yeah, Gideon is really... I mean, she's exhausted, she's angry, she's all soaking wet and just not put together anymore because of literally jumping off of a waterfall. So she just braces herself up against Iris, still clinging onto her shoulders, and angrily growls out, "Why won't you stop running?" And then casts Ice Lick again as the cold bursts out of her.
Okay. And I make a reflex save, right?
Yes.
Okay. I am sorry. It is a 27.
I would like to ask you.
Yes.
To stop.
If.
I would like to answer you.
I would like to ask you if.
If I would like to get divorced from you.
If her being wet does anything for this.
I can roll a disadvantage. That adds up. Okay. 15 is the second one.
15. What level spell is this? Mm. It's 2. 14 plus 2 is 16.
Ooh.
Okay. So what happens? She falls? She slips?
Yes. She takes 1d6 points of cold damage plus 1 per caster level.
Okay.
That's a 6 right. plus 5, 11.
I see Coolness just dropped the map.
Yeah.
Coolness just very casually dropped the map to Sosalia in the chat pointedly.
So there's wheat fields north of Sosalia. Is she heading to town?
Yes. Okay, so what does she take?
6 plus 5, 11 points of damage, and she falls prone.
Fuck. Okay. All right.
And now there is a 5-foot radius of ice around us.
So she falls onto her stomach. And I think this gives everybody time to, like, thoroughly catch up. So Tonrir on Harlow and Reva on Pax, and also Rora and Orland, who also got just battered by that fall off the waterfall but are still hanging in, you all draw up on Iris, and you circle her.
As flavor, by the way, Gideon kind of unschlicks her claws from Iris's flesh and just stands up next to her since she's fallen.
Gideon, you look like an absolute badass with one hand of bloody claws out, standing over a prone werewolf.
Technically, they both would have been bloody.
Two pairs of bloody claws out while you stand over a prone werewolf. And you can all see that Iris is breathing heavily. She looks extremely battered. She has been shot multiple times and bit all over,
by these spiders. Are those spiders still here? What happened to the spiders?
The spiders.
We were commenting that they stayed at the top of the waterfall because they were like, nah.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I was just picturing them tucking their eight legs in and doing cannonball.
Yeah. It would have been, five rounds. This would have been the fifth round, but yeah. So they said, nope.
They spent their last round having a picnic at the top of the waterfall.
Just enjoying their short life.
Yeah.
Just to pay attention to the environmental hazards that Gideon has caused. Mm-hmm. There is a 5-foot square of ice surrounding, because it burst out from basically where Iris was because Gideon was on her back. Mm-hmm. And I think with that many rounds, Gideon, as people are approaching, she's letting her claws go away to become fingers again.
Tonra, go ahead and take your turn.
Okay, I'm going to try to charm animal again.
Okay.
I'm so hopeful on this. So the dice rolled an 18 plus, so that would have been 21.
Okay. And what do I roll against that? Is it a will save?
I believe so, yeah. Sorry, it's a wisdom saving throw.
Okay, all right. You hear that voice again. You hear that voice again, and it says,
Tonrir, who do you think you are, interfering like this? Do you think you are a hero? You are meddling in things you do not understand.
And take a minus two.
So that would be 19.
Okay. And then a will save. She rolled a 19.
Wow.
Okay, so it's a 20. It's a 20.
Okay.
Ugh. So close. So fucking close. Do you dismount and try to approach her?
Yeah, at this point, probably dismount. And I immediately try to lock gaze with her. And I'm trying to pierce through because this time, the thing that I am mentally echoing to her, I don't know if this will give me a boon or not, but in my mind, I am saying, the sun and the moon still move through the sky, and I am not alone.
I rolled another wisdom saving throw, and she got that one as well.
Damn!
She looks at you, and as you approach, her breathing, which is really quick, she has this wild-eyed look about her. Her eyes are darting back and forth. Her lips are drawn back. Her ears are swiveling wildly. And as you approach her, she starts to breathe a little deeper. She starts to look at you, and you see for an instant what almost looks like a flicker of recognition, like she knows you, like she knows what you're saying. But then just as quickly as it came, it is gone. And as you approach, she lashes out to try to slash at you. And I don't think you're close enough for her to get you, but the sentiment applies.
Yep.
Reva.
Fuck, I don't know.
I mean, it feels pretty unsporting, right? To strike her when she's laying on her stomach.
Yeah, I don't want to just like walk up and smack her, you know?
Throw a pebble.
I think as you stand there for a minute trying to decide what to do, and you're still on Pax's back, and Pax also looks just really torn, you hear in your head,
why haven't you told your friends about the letter? Afraid they won't help someone like you? What kind of scum are you, Reva?
I think Reva's just frozen in this moment. She was already undecided about what to do regarding Iris. And then, you know, that voice just kind of like, it kind of broke her brain a little. So, so I'm going to delay my turn because she can't do anything right now.
Okay. Okay. So it's Iris. And what she does is she gets up. And I think the Guardians, they look a little frozen. It's one thing to talk about doing enough damage to her to get her to shift back. And as she gets up, you actually see, for an instant, she starts to change. You see her spine twitching. You see her shoulders shaking. It looks as if she's beginning to get small again. And then...
Uh-oh.
Give me perception checks really fast.
23.
14.
16.
Just as an aside, Reva is no longer in a rage. I think she snapped out of it when they went over the waterfall.
Yeah, that'll startle people out of most things. Okay, you know, you don't see anything. You see her twitching. You see her starting to convulse. You see what looks like her changing and growing small. And then she roars and she goes right back into being huge and furious. And with that roar, the horses in the corral, there's a corral not far away, and the horses startle, eyes wide in panic, and they break down the gate, escaping into the field. And there is a moment of absolute chaos, sudden noise and the streak of many dark shapes. And in that moment, Iris tries to run away.
Reflex saving throw. Oh, it's acrobatics.
Whatever it is, she rolled a 2.
Okay, that's...
So she
just fell.
So she has to get this poor thing. Okay, she falls. She falls right back down onto her stomach. You all get another chance to reason with her or to damage her. And let's go ahead and leave initiative. I mean, what has happened is you have bested her. She is wounded all over. She is bleeding from a ton of places. She is not going anywhere.
Okay.
Pax gently guides Reva off of their back and crouches down next to Iris.
Gideon's going to ask Pax, is there anything we can do to restrain her since she doesn't seem to be shifting back?
Does anyone have condensed quicine that isn't just on your weapons?
I smashed my vial.
Mm-hmm.
Conrad had stuffed a bunch of the mushrooms in his pockets, I think.
There was that.
You stuffed 24 mushrooms into Iris.
Tonrir is going to look warily at Pax again and say, maybe the voice is in her head too. And what he's going to try to do, because I kind of botched it, I added a 3 instead of my spellcaster level, which is 5 on the last time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one spot left in my level 1 slots, so I'm going to try Charm Animal one more time.
Okay.
Please, please, please. Okay, that's another 18, so that's good. So 18 plus 5, 19, 20, 21, so 22.
Okay.
18 plus 5 is 23.
23, sorry, yes. Is there any bard bonus?
You don't have Ira anymore. Ira stayed behind.
Okay.
That is a 15.
Yeah, boy!
Tonrir says to Pax, maybe the voice is still in her head. And as he turns back to Iris to lock gaze again, tapping into her mind the best that he can and working through that rage that is just continually being stoked, through all of the noise, there is one undercurrent of calm. And as it rises slowly toward the surface, it says, the sun and the moon still move through the sky. And I am not alone.
You hear, now that you're in her mind, you hear a competing voice. You hear a voice speaking as you are speaking. And it's just in a loop. And it says,
you are a monster. You will always be a monster. You are a monster. You will always be a monster.
And your two voices are competing.
You are a monster.
Still move through the
you
sky.
You will always be a monster.
Let's do a will contest.
You are a monster.
The sun and the moon.
You will still always move through the sky.
26. I'm not alone. The sun and the moon still move through the sky.
You win.
And I am not alone.
Get wrecked!
Oh God!
Is there any sign of any sign of this being successful that Tonrir has gone into her mind? Not even that he won that will contest, but
I picture her as you start talking to her. I picture you two maintaining eye contact,
and she's not thrashing around or anything.
I think she slowly stops thrashing. I think her breathing starts deepening.
If anybody were to look at Tonrir's face, they would know by intuition that the connection was complete because suddenly his eyes match hers.
I think their eyes are locked and you can almost see that gold light.
Like the reflection.
That unnatural werewolf gold light reflected in his
okay.
eyes. His eyes don't just magically change color, but you can see her reflected in it.
Yeah, Gideon sees that they're actually maintaining eye connection and she knows enough about that kind of magic to realize that he successfully made the mental connection to her. And she just lets out a big sigh of relief and lets herself relax a little bit because she was just on edge from having been on the world's zaniest roller coaster werewolf ride.
You're repeating this mantra, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you are repeating this mantra, your voice grows stronger and the other voice grows softer. And as this is happening, as your voice grows stronger and stronger in her presence, in her mind, you see her start to shift. You are saying this mantra, and I think maybe you only know the first part.
Yeah.
But as you continue saying it, Iris shifts back into something small, an elven. And she reaches out a slender hand and puts it in yours. And maintaining eye contact, I think she finishes the mantra with you.
The sun and the moon still move through the sky, and I am not alone.
I am bigger than this. I do not want to hurt anyone. I will not hurt anyone. This will pass.